This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, eighth chapter, teachings by Queen Kunti, text 42. Tvai me nanya vishaya, bhatir madhupate shakrit, ratim udvahatad adha, Gangevo Gamudanviti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges river flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Purport. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc., consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations, just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became famous, a famous devotee of the Lord, for it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by dint of devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with service to the Lord, it is called pure devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. I first of all have to admit that I'm quite embarrassed to be the first Bhagavatam speaker, because I have so many other illustrious godbrothers who are much more better speakers than me and more advanced than me in Krishna consciousness. But I would do anything to satisfy His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, so my good friend, my hero in Krishna consciousness. So on his order only I am doing this. So this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the prayers that Queen Kunti offered to Lord Krishna just after the battle of Kurukshetra, as the Lord was preparing to return home to Dwarka. Prayer, or as we say in Sanskrit, bandhanam, is actually one of the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. And our acharyas have pointed out that one can take up either one or a combination of these nine processes of devotional service and become Krishna conscious. prayer, really, prayer reveals the deep feelings that one has in one's heart for Krishna. Because in our routine activity, we're doing so many things, saying this and saying that. But when we take a moment to sit and to pray to Krishna or the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, we're taking the opportunity to reveal what is really deeply within our hearts. So it's very important to express these prayers. Of course, if one doesn't have that love, that genuine love yet for Hari Guru Vaishnava, that's okay. One can repeat the prayers of pure devotees as they're given like this in Srimad Bhagavatam. And by repeating those prayers continuously, gradually develop the same loving sentiments. This is the process of devotional service. Just like a child learns to talk, how? By imitating the parents. So in the same way, by repeating the prayers of pure devotees, and there are so many pure devotees revealing their hearts in this Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, we get a sense of what is pure devotion. And by engaging in the process of devotional service, this combination of repeating the prayers of great devotees and following in their footsteps by engaging in devotional service, we gradually come to the stage of perfection. Kunti Devi's prayer this morning is actually very instructive because it actually reveals, you could say, the essence of Krishna consciousness. What is the essence of Krishna consciousness? Well, there's a nice phrase. To always remember the Lord and never forget Him. This is the goal of all our activities in Krishna consciousness, to come to the stage where we're always remembering Krishna and we're never forgetting Him. Last spring, I was traveling in America and I did a program somewhere. I think I was leading a bhajan or something. And a devotee walked in, and he had this T-shirt. On the front of the T-shirt, it said, "Always remember Krishna." Oh, that's a nice T-shirt. I'd like to have a T-shirt like that. Then he passed by me, and on the back it said, "And never forget Him." I really want that T-shirt. Always remember Krishna on the front, and the back, dot, 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 and never forget Him. Oh, that is the best, very best T-shirt. You know, people wear T-shirts to kind of express who they are. So that's what I'd like to be like that. In the Padma Purana, there's a similar verse. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, Vishmartavyo najatujit. That one should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. This is the Sanskrit. This is a very simple instruction. But as all of us have experienced, it's not so easy to always remember the Lord and not forget Him. If you took if you could like list your thoughts during the day, God forbid, at this stage, and you'd see how many thoughts are given to Hari Guru and Vaishnava and how many thoughts are for our selfish purposes. It might be a little embarrassing. Might be good for us, actually. It's not easy to always remember the Lord and never forget Him. Why? Because we have so many other things that we're thinking about in this world due to our conditioning. Prabhupada has said aptly that we have been in this material world since time immemorial. Think about that. Even a computer could not calculate how many births we have been in this material existence since we left the spiritual sky. And as a result of traveling through this material existence, there's a lot of dust in the heart. It's like we've all traveled a long distance to come to this momentous event the Kirtan Mela. And when we came, we had to take shower first thing because, you know, when you travel, you get dirty out there, traveling on the trains and the planes and the buses. And some, I saw some devotees walking in, like a real pilgrim, walking into the festival. So some dirt is accumulated. So we take bath and we cleanse. Then we come into the temple of the Lord and we cleanse our hearts by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But traveling means some dirt will accumulate. So due to our long association with this material energy in the form of ignorance, passion, and even mundane goodness, there's some dust in the heart, some dirt. So we, as a result of that, there's lots of memories we have. Lots of things we like to talk about in this world, or we should try not to talk about in this world. And this is the problem. We would like to always remember Krishna, never forget him, but there's so many other subjects, topics on our mind. As we hear in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse may be more pertinent to us. Shrotavyadhini Rajendra Rinam Shanti Sahasvashaha Apasyatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Nevertheless, all of us want to come to the stage of always remembering Krishna. And Queen Kunti very kindly, very mercifully, gives us a hint how to always remember Krishna. This is the mercy of great devotees. They're always ready to share their realizations with others. They're not miserly. A person who's successful in material life, out of fear, he's very miserly. But a devotee has no fear. He knows Krishna. The mercy of Krishna is unlimited. So he's willing to share any realization he has about Krishna. He's willing to share anything he knows about Krishna with anyone who's willing to hear. This is Vaishnava. So Queen Kunti, she's a very exalted devotee. The wife of Pandu, the mother of three of the Pandavas, the aunt of Lord Krishna. She's such an exalted devotee. She wants to share, so she gives us a hint. Oh, you want to remember Krishna? She uses the word ananya vishaya. If you want to remember Krishna, the secret is to remember Krishna with love. This is the key to always remembering the Lord, to love him. There's actually two ways to always remember someone. If you love them, and if you hate them. Kamsa is an example our acharyas give of someone who always remembered Krishna out of hate or out of fear. He once heard an oracle from the sky. You fool, Kamsa! What? Yes, you! Don't you know that the eighth child of your sister will be your death? We know. We just had the Janmashtami celebration, so this may have come up. So he was always thinking, when this Vishnu will come? In fact, he was so absorbed in Vishnu, he was so absorbed in Krishna, that even in his sleep he was thinking of Krishna. Even in his sleep. Because what you do during the day, Prabhupada said, you often dream about at night, or you make a certain combination of events. It comes out kind of funny sometimes in your dreams. But so because he was thinking, when is this Vishnu coming? Is he here? Is he there? Where is he? And then at nighttime he was also dreaming. Oh, Krishna. So he was always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting him. He was Krishna conscious. However, Srila Rupa Goswami has very kindly refined the understanding that real Krishna consciousness means to think of Krishna all the time but favorably. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma anarvitam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. This is a very important verse for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. When first class devotional service develops, one is devoid of all material desires, impersonal knowledge and fruitive action. The devotee serves Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. That's devotional service. So was Kamsa serving Krishna favorably as he desires? No. Because he was so fearful of his own death by the eighth child of Devaki, every day he was sending a different demon to Braj, to Vrindavan. We hear of the principal demons in the Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam. But actually, Acharyas have pointed out that every day Kamsa was sending a demon. It was part of the Leela, actually, part of the pastimes. Because Krishna with his cowherd boyfriends, you know, boys will be boys. Oh, they like the wrestling pastimes and the swimming pastimes and the joking pastimes. And every day, just before lunch, the demon would arrive, whoever it may have been, in some particular form suitable to the pastime. And inevitably, Krishna would kill the demon, or Balaram would kill the demon, or Krishna Balaram would kill the demon, and the boys would be, oh, yahoo! Our Krishna is so strong, our Krishna is so powerful, he killed the demon. And this would be the subject matter when they sat down to have lunch together. The boys would talk, did you see how, boom, Krishna, this? They were so proud of Krishna. There's pride in devotional service, but the devotee is proud because Krishna is his Lord. Material pride means I'm proud of myself. Spiritual pride means I'm proud of the devotees of the Lord. I'm proud of my spiritual master. I'm proud that Krishna is God. He's my God, like that. So this was Kamsa. So afraid. He was sending every day, and a demon never came back. Every day he was sending, and gradually his army of demons was diminished. But not like that. To think of Krishna favorably. How can I serve Krishna? What can I do to please the Lord? Because I am his servant. God is very great and I am very small. My duty is to serve the Lord and give him pleasure. So again, Queen Kunti is an excellent example of always remembering Krishna favorably. How can we ascertain that? Well, because her love for Krishna never wavered, it never faltered. Even in difficult times, even in calamity. Chanaka Pandit says, how does it go? Niti Shastra. Test a servant in the discharge of his duty. Test a relative in difficulty. Test a friend in adversity. And test a wife in misfortune when you have no money to pay the bills and buy her trinkets and so forth. So Kunti is a relative of Krishna, and in times of difficulty, her love for the Lord proved unconditional. She and her five sons, because she had three and then she had two because Madri left, so she was taking care of five. Her and her sons underwent so many trials and so many tribulations. They're listed, actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nevertheless, they never deviated in their devotion to the Lord. Rather, as a result of those difficulties, their devotion for the Lord and their dependence on the Lord only increased. This is called the fire of ordeal. The example has been given that the more you melt down, you melt gold in fire, the more beautiful and pure it becomes. When you take gold from the earth, it's actually not very attractive. When I was a boy, we lived in California, and nearby we had the Sierra Nevada Mountains, and that was where, in the 1800s, gold was discovered. There's gold in them thar hills, they used to say. So a lot of gold, it was all mined by the miners, and in those days they had their pans, you know, they had these big machines. So me and my friends, we would sometimes go up to those abandoned gold mines and places, and there was still some remnants there, and we would take our pans and we would go to the river, and we would, you take the silt of the river, and then there's a way that you separate the silt from the little specks and sometimes nuggets of gold. Yeah. Sometimes we were just kids. We would find little nuggets of gold there. But when we first went, I was very surprised because the nuggets were, they look like gold. They look kind of like a dirty coppery color or something. But then we learned to take it to the goldsmith in town, and he would melt it for us. And then he'd give it back to us for a small price, and it looked like a gold nugget. It was really attractive. And after several months, you know, we'd have a few hundred dollars for, you know, our bicycles or whatever, you know, fixing, repairing. But I remember the gold was not so attractive in the beginning. It had to be melted down. So sometimes our devotion for the Lord, it's tested by the Lord. We go through some difficulties. Maya may test us to see if we're really sincere. And if we say no to Maya and yes to Krishna, then our devotion becomes more pure, becomes manifest. And sometimes we may have to go through some difficulties in life because this is a world of duality, yes and no, black and white, up and down, happiness and distress. We may, as devotees, have to experience even some calamities in life. But if we use those calamities to take shelter of Krishna, then our devotion for the Lord becomes more pure. The fire of ordeal. The opposite is true of non-devotees. We know that when there's some difficulty, they take shelter of the material energy in the form of intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, but not a devotee. There's some difficulty. He calls out to Krishna. Of course, sometimes a neophyte devotee whose devotion to the Lord and knowledge of the Lord is not very strong, sometimes, unfortunately, a neophyte devotee may succumb to taking shelter of the material energy as well when confronted with some ordeal. But this is not very good. So therefore, we have examples of what to do. Example is higher than precept. Well, in Krishna consciousness, we consider both the example and the precept, the philosophy and the devotee who exemplifies the philosophy, to be important. Like we have the Bhagavad and we have the person Bhagavad. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. But who would know how to practice the life of a devotee, Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we had the devotee to show us the way, Srila Prabhupada, how to live the Bhagavad. So we have both. So we know that when Maya tempts us, we should take shelter of Krishna. But just how to do it, we have examples like Kunti, who showed by her life how to turn misfortune into fortune, how to turn tragedy into a real blessing. She never wavered. In the midst of all those calamities, she was always calling out to Krishna. In fact, she prayed for those calamities to keep coming. Because when there were no calamities, Krishna was very far away. But as soon as there was some calamity and she called out, Krishna, help, Krishna would come. So she felt closer to the Lord when there was some difficulty. He would come to protect her. Actually, Kunti Devi was not part of Krishna's pastimes in the holy places like Vrindavan or Mathura, Dwarka. She lived in Hastinapur with her sons. But her devotion was such the Lord would come to her. Sometimes Krishna would leave Dwarka to come to Hastinapur to inquire how Kunti and the Pandavas were doing. This is how strong her devotion was. We go to the Dham to see the Lord, but her devotion was such that Krishna would leave the Dham to come to Hastinapur to see Queen Kunti. She's such a special personality. More evidence of her unalloyed devotion is given in Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There, Sanatana Goswami recounts how on one occasion in Mathura, Krishna asked Akura to go see Kunti and the Pandavas in Hastinapur in order to see how they were handling the harassment of Duryodhana. So when Akura went to Hastinapur, he met with Kunti. And Srila Sanatana Goswami says the very first words Kunti heard from Akura were about Krishna. And as soon as she heard Krishna's name, as soon as she heard the name Krishna, ecstatic symptoms of love of God began to manifest on her body. Does that happen to us when we hear or chant the holy names of the Lord? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Actually, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that if upon chanting the holy names of the Lord, one or more of the ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead don't manifest in one's heart or in one's body, this means that one is still guilty of committing one or more of the 10 offenses to the holy names of the Lord. We read the 10 offenses regularly, and we think, yes, oh no, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. So then, chant Hare Krishna and do some symptoms, no? So it means that the offenses are the obstacles to the sutanam, pure chanting of the holy name. So we have to listen very carefully every morning. We repeat. We don't have to be mechanical in repeating the 10 offenses. We want to listen very carefully. How is this applied to me? Is my behavior somewhat offensive, and therefore when I chant, I don't feel the result of sutanam or pure chanting? I have to be very, very, very careful. Kunti, however, being a pure devotee, whenever she would just hear the name Krishna, then, so this was difficult sometimes for a pure devotee to hide their devotional symptoms. Although for, you know, they hide these things because they don't want some cheap adoration from the public. They don't want to be followed because they're showing some ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead. They want to be followed for the message that they are giving the general mass of people. But sometimes, like Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. And sometimes we saw on very rare occasions Srila Prabhupada would also become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada was in Mayapur, Prabhupada was welcoming the devotees from all over the world to our Mayapur project. It was just in the pioneer stage. It went from nothing, just a bare field of whatever was there, wheat or something, to a beautiful temple was manifesting according to the vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada envisioned it as the world headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was taking place that one day, devotees from all over the world, from Germany, from France, from Russia, from Japan, would come together and along with their Bengali compatriots, would chant, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Go Hari. And Prabhupada was seeing this was actually happening as a result of his humble efforts to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world as a humble servant of this prediction, this prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And as he was speaking, Prabhupada just broke down. He couldn't speak anymore. And he was shaking and crying, and I remember just everyone became silent. No one knew what to do. We'd never seen this before in our spiritual master. He was experiencing this ecstatic emotions of seeing The Sankirtan movement spread all over the world. And it went on for a long time, and then one devotee took the mridanga and started chanting, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta. And Prabhupada's eyes opened. Then he continued his talk like that. So sometimes they hide because these great devotees want to be followed for the important message and the example they're giving in Krishna consciousness. The devotion may be misunderstood. So they keep it gupta, they keep their devotion hidden like this. But sometimes it just bursts forward. This is a very exalted stage of devotional service, not to be imitated. But if it is there in the great devotees, we worship their devotion to Krishna. We can't imitate them, but we can follow their instructions and hope one day to achieve such an exalted state. Srila Sanatana Goswami also points out that the complaints that Kunti had about the troubles they are undergoing and the anxieties that she expressed in her prayers in this 8th chapter of the first canto did not arise from a materially contaminated consciousness, but they were her own special symptoms of ecstasy. So in conclusion, she loved the Lord both in happiness and distress. And that smaranam, constant remembrance, is what we see in all pure devotees of the Lord. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. The result of sincere hearing and sincere chanting is this remembrance of the Lord. It's very appropriate that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. Although one can take up one or a combination of these basic nine processes of devotional service, it's very nice that it begins, that the verse actually begins from Shravanam, and then Kirtanam, and then Vishnu, Smaranam. Shravanam, we begin the process, our tender creeper of devotion. It wakes up like springtime. The seeds are there. The farmer may plant them sometime, and then they're just dormant in the ground. They don't manifest. But then comes spring. Krishna says, of seasons I am flower-bearing spring. The springtime comes, and by nature's way, the earth becomes warm, the rains come, and that little seed, which was dormant, not doing it, poof, it starts to grow. And in Denmark, you get tulips and things like this. And then gradually here in this part of Europe, the flowers come like that. So this Bhakti Lat Bij, the seed of Krishna consciousness, is there in everyone's heart. Everyone, all of us have that seed, but it's just dormant because we haven't attended to it for many winters, for many lifetimes. Since time immemorial, we haven't watered the seed of devotion. So what do you expect? It's just there. But in the springtime of our life, sometimes the Harinam party passes by. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Oh, this is something, a change of heart. We don't know what's happening. And that little seed, boop, begins to sprout. I wrote in a recent diary chapter how at our festival in Poland, part of our festivals, there's a lecture. I give a 20-minute lecture or something. It's very basic. Introduction to Krishna consciousness. And I stress the importance of the Bhagavad Gita and encourage people before the festival's over to go to the book tent and buy a Gita, because everything I've said is coming from this book. So if you've appreciated anything that I've said today, buy the book. This is the most important thing, with the commentaries by my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So inevitably, people buy. And after one lecture, a man, a distinguished-looking man, actually, it was summertime, so people dress quite casually along the coast, but in this occasion, the gentleman was not dressed casually. He was a real gentleman. He was dressed in nice slacks and a nice shirt, and he had a very fine watch on and ring and nice shoes and little vest. And he was listening carefully. So when I'm speaking in public, I always try to find one or two people who are really listening, and I speak to their hearts, and I pray, Krishna, please, let this message... It's a technique of public speaking, because so many people are not interested or just curious, but there's some always 10%, 15%. So I remember watching this man, so afterwards I was by the book tent. I always mention, if you buy a book, then please... You'll see me wandering around the festival, and I'll be very happy to give a little dedication with a signature and date so you can remember this memorable cultural event in this beautiful town during your summer. And I stand by the book tent, and, you know, people come. We do 10, 15 Gitas every evening like that. So then I'm signing, and I look, and there's the man in line waiting with his book. It was so satisfying. You know, oh, so he's heard Krishna's message, and something's there. I didn't know how much was there. But you never know who's who. So he comes forward, and as he's handing me the book, he just spontaneously, this gentleman, very distinguished, he just jumps forward and he embraces me and gives me this huge hug. Ooh! And then he starts crying. And then he starts sobbing. Like, you know, his body shaking. And I could feel his tears going down on my arms. He's crying and crying and crying. And then, you know, I hugged him. And then I kind of let go after a while. But then he grabbed tighter. And everyone's looking. His wife's there. He was a physicist. He taught physics in a university. And finally, he goes, oh, he's... Please, he said in English, please excuse me. He said, I never do things like that. I don't know what overcame me. Something overwhelmed me. He said, you know, in your lecture, he said, you poise all the questions I've ever had in life. And I never found an answer. And one by one, not me, Prabhupada, you answered every question I ever had in life. Now I know, but I read this book, I'll probably understand everything I ever wanted to know. Then he got all emotional again, and tears started. I said, yes, it's true. So, a sign like that. This happens. That seed is there. It's just waiting to be watered. And what is that watering process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And that we hear from the Vaishnavas, from the devotees of the Lord. So that devotion is marked here in the personality of Queen Kunti. And that smaranam, that constant remembrance of the Lord, we see that in all pure devotees. One time Prabhupada said in Paris, I remember, he said, there was never a time I ever forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. I thought, wow, that's pretty far off. Because, you know, we heard Prabhupada's schooling and education and involvement in this, and was there a time, he said, I ever forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And our Acharyas have pointed out that this ability to remember Krishna out of love, this is especially manifest in the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. And particularly the maidservants of Krishna in Vrindavan. They love Krishna more than anyone's ever been loved before. So Mahaprabhu personally marked their devotion. Arajyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayata Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kichit Upashana Braja Vadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita. This is a verse you might find on the tongue of every Gaudiya Vaishnava preacher. That Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, he's the most worshipable person of all. And the most worshipable place is where Krishna lives, in Vrindavan. And the topmost method of worshiping him is the mood and the love exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan, especially by his girlfriends. Prabhupada said that the gopis' love for Krishna is very deep, like the ocean. And actually, it's very difficult for neophyte devotees like us to understand. But elegance is truth spoken concisely. And in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about the gopis' love for Krishna in a very concise way, but very revealing. He said, the gopis never ask Krishna for anything. They just wanted to know what will please Krishna. So essentially, we're all followers in their footsteps. It's understood that Prabhupada has commented that the devotees who participate in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's generally understood that their goal is to go back home to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Although devotees may manifest at some stage of Krishna consciousness some attraction for an incarnation of Krishna, generally those who take shelter in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, they're aspiring for Sri Vrindavan Dham. They want to follow in the footsteps of those devotees who have the topmost devotion for Krishna. To always remember Krishna, never forget him in that ecstatic mood of love, which is best portrayed by the Brajabasis. So we want to follow in their footsteps to become a lover of the Lord. It's recommended to follow in the footsteps of one who's a lover of the Lord. Just like yesterday when we were asked to speak, we revealed or we expressed our real intention in coming here was to get the association of His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj. This whole festival was his idea, inspired from the heart. Tesham satada yuktanam bhashatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who serve me with love and devotion, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this holy event is born from the heart of Maharaj because he has such a taste for kirtan. So I would also like to have that taste for kirtan. So although it was, you know, right after our festival tour, literally, we had our last festival August 28th and 29th, I was driving here. Some devotee was saying, you're crazy, Maharaj, you should take a break. A break? When there's the Kirtan Mela 6 hours away? And His Holiness Satchinandan Swami is there and so many illustrious godbrothers and devotees who have this Nam Ruchi. There's no way I'm going to take a break. I'll sleep for a few hours in the van. Devotional service is something Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it's imbibed. Very nice word. Devotional service is imbibed from another devotee. It's something mystical. You can't put logic and reasoning on it. You can't put your finger on it. How do you get bhakti? You get bhakti by the mercy of a devotee who has bhakti. So if that devotee is somewhere, you must go and take shelter of that devotee and pray for his mercy and get that impression of Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's more favorable to get Krishna conscious, more favorable to associate with a devotee of the Lord than the Lord himself. What? How could service to a devotee be more valuable than service to God himself? Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a nice analogy. He says, more dangerous than associating with a materialistic woman is to associate with a man who's attached to a materialistic woman. And conversely, but in a favorable way, more favorable than associating with God is to associate with devotees who are attached to God. And Krishna himself demonstrated that. In his sending, one of his bosom dear friends, Uddhava, to Vrindavan. Uddhava was a personal friend, he was an associate, and he was even Krishna's advisor in Dwarka, where Krishna is worshipped in a very special way. Aishwarya Bhavi is worshipped in the mood of awe and reverence, like the king. But Krishna wanted to show his good friend, because you want to share the best of what you have with your friends. He sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to help Uddhava understand this special love that the Brajabasis have for Krishna. And before Uddhava left, Krishna wrote some messages, like to the cowherd boys he wrote a message, to the gopis he wrote a message, to his mother and father. He had this like stack of letters. And he was supposed to deliver these messages to each devotee to whom they were intended. But Uddhava became puzzled initially by their reactions because he was a Dwarkavasi. He couldn't understand the spontaneous love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. For example, Krishna wrote to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, "Don't worry, I'm the Supreme Truth, I'm the Supreme Pure, I'm the Eternal Person, everyone is dependent upon me, so don't feel that you are disconnected from me." And when Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda heard that message, they strongly objected. Mother Yashoda said, "Krishna, he's not the Supreme Pure. He would roll in the dust. Every half hour I'd have to bathe him. He's not," Nanda Baba said, "he's not the Supreme Truth. He would steal butter. And we would catch him and have to chastise him, and he would deny it. He would lie. How could a liar be the Supreme Truth?" And Mother Yashoda said, "He's not the Eternal Person. He took birth from me. He's my little boy. We saw him grow up with our very eyes." So Uddhava, he never heard such talks in Dwarka, where, you know, Lord is worshipped with great awe and reverence. So when he considered these reactions from the Brajabasis, he became very appreciative of their special nature of love, their spontaneous love. He thought, these Brajabasis, they have such an intimate love for Krishna, they're thinking that the king has become their son, their friend. And when he went to Nandagram, in a place which is now called Uddhavagiri, then he read Krishna's message to the gopis. Krishna said, "My dear girls, you may think that I have left you, but in fact, I haven't really left you. Just consider that I am in everyone's heart. I'm in your heart. And I'm in every atom. So how have I left you? There's no reason to lament. There's no reason to cry. Because we're connected as ever before." And the gopis are like, "Wait a minute. Krishna's treating us like jnanis. We're just the village girls. We're not interested in all this complicated philosophy. We just miss Krishna and want to be with him again." So as Uddhava was going back to Mathura and then back to Dwarka, he thought to himself, "I thought I appreciated Krishna. I thought I loved Krishna. But these people, these Brajabasis, they love him more than anyone has ever been loved before." In Dwarka, we think of Krishna as the king. We know Krishna is God, but here they think of him as their child, as their friend, their lover. This means they enjoy an even deeper, more intimate relation. They're better devotees than me. They're so great. I need the dust of the feet of these devotees on my head. So he prayed, "Please, Krishna, let me remain here in Vrindavan, even as a clump of grass or some little plant or shrub, so these residents in Vrindavan, these gopis, can walk and step on me. Even if they don't step on me," he thought, "the wind will blow some dust from their feet upon my head." So again, the lesson is that we become Krishna conscious by associating with devotees of Krishna. It's more favorable than associating with the Lord himself. So one might conclude, therefore, let us all pack our bags and run to Vrindavan, where such devotees eternally reside, because they do. It's not manifest to our eyes yet because our eyes are still covered. One time Prabhupada was giving a beautiful description of Brajabhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham, the river Jamuna, the Govardhan Hill, the parrots singing, and the devotees' activities. And one devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, you're describing Vrindavan so beautifully, but I just see the rickshaw wallahs demanding more money, the pigs in the sewers, the dust, the dysentery. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's because there's a speck in your eye. And if you remove the speck, you will see Vrindavan as it is. So that devotee literally went like this to try to... And Prabhupada said, no, not like that. He said, that speck is your desire for sense gratification, your material desires. And once those desires are removed from your mind's eye, from your heart, you will see Vrindavan as it is. So should we run to Vrindavan and have faith that these great devotees are living there that we can't see? No, we don't have to do. For we have the association of, we would say, the greatest Vrajabhasi, Sri Prabhupada, who lived in Vrindavan, who lives in Vrindavan eternally, but out of his causeless mercy, came to the West to reveal this whole process of Krishna consciousness, to invite us back to Vrindavan. We have his association. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. This was Prabhupada's dedication to his momentous translation and commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He dedicated it to his spiritual master. The opening stanza of the whole book is glorifying his spiritual master. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So we are all followers of Śrīla Prabhupāda. First generation, second generation. There's some third generations coming, little baby baskets. We're all his followers. We all have his association because we are carrying on his mission here within this world. The mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world was very dear to him. He gave his life and soul to following the instructions of his spiritual master to preach this culture in the English-speaking language. Every fiber of Prabhupāda's body was dedicated to the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness. It was so dear to him. He took the instruction of his spiritual master as his very life and soul. And therefore, anyone who assists Śrīla Prabhupāda in such a difficult mission, Prabhupāda told me one time, he asked me, so Indradyumna, how was the Harinam today? And I said, oh, it was hard, you know. And it was hard. There were some demons on the streets of Paris, and they were throwing some garbage at us and saying bad. I said, Prabhupada, it was hard. And Prabhupada says, when did I ever say preaching is easy? You didn't. He said, preaching is difficult. But if we assist him, just think, if we assist him in that difficult mission, satisfying the instruction of his spiritual master, how dear we become to Śrīla Prabhupada. What is his mission? The mission of his Guru Maharaj. What is the mission of his Guru Maharaj, all our acharyas? That is Mahaprabhu's mission. Pita Varna Dari Tabi Kaila Pravartana Prema Bhakti Dila Loke Lana Bhakti Gana. Kaviraj Goswami says, in the age of Kali, Lord Krishna assumes a golden color and accompanied by his personal associates introduces Harinam Sankirtan. Key. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By this process, he delivers love of Krishna to the general populace. So this was Mahaprabhu's movement. Prior to the appearance of Mahaprabhu, the devotees were chanting in seclusion in the groves of Mayapur and Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu appeared and appealed to all those Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavas to come, to gather together in public and chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. That is the Yuga Dharma. Chanting Hare Krishna is always beneficial, even if one chants, he mimics the devotees. Oh, the Hare Krishnas are coming. Hey, the holy name is so kind that by saying it, he gets some benefit. The other day on the beach, we went past a group of school children. We were chanting, and one boy said, Mommy, Mommy, the Rama Ramas are here. I said, what? Mommy, the Rama Ramas are here. I said, I've heard the Hare Krishnas and in Australia, the Hares. I never heard the Rama Ramas. And he kept saying, Mommy, the Rama Ramas. I said, keep singing it, boy. Keep singing Ramas. Anyway, but it's a science. It can be refined. Just like japa is so effective in purifying the heart and awakening love for Krishna. That Krishna says in the Gita, of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. And then kirtan, where we come together as an assembly of devotees, is very potent. We noted yesterday, and Maharaj also noted yesterday, three times something sinks in, so third time. That in Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that congregational chanting, means the congregation of devotees, is so powerful that sometimes even a neophyte devotee may experience temporarily some ecstatic symptoms. But going out into the public where the people are in total ignorance and engaged in sinful activities, and to some degree some may even be demoniac, and loudly chanting Hare Krishna, that is an especially good way to serve the holy name. One time in Paris, we were chanting on the street, and Prabhupada was at the temple, and it was the same visit, actually, a few days later, and we were having kirtan, and one lady came in front of the kirtan party, and she just put her fingers in her ears and stuck her tongue out. And she was chanting for a long time. My good friend, Lochananda Prabhu, was leading I was playing mridanga, and we looked at each other. So we came back, and then, you know, Prabhupada said, he wanted to see the Harinam party. So we came in. This time I didn't make any mistakes. I said, how was the kid? Oh, it's very nice, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, there was one lady, she was standing there, and she had her fingers in her ears during the Harinam. Prabhupada said, what did you do? What did I do? What did you do? I just kept playing mridanga, Prabhupada. No! You should have gone up to her and pulled her fingers from her ears and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, into her ears. So I said, okay, Prabhupada, I'll do that next time. Hasn't happened yet. So just like there's a principle that the potency of the holy dham increases as they evolve in the rasa, like Dwarka is perfect. Vrindavan is, because of the nature of the rasa, more perfect. And Vrindavan is most perfect. So in the same way, japa is perfect. It's the perfect activity to sit and remember the japa seminars and give our whole heart to the chanting. But coming together like this on the request of His Holiness Sachinandan Swami and all chanting very loudly for 12 hours a day with the great kirtaneers, that is very nice. But Maharaj, such an intelligent devotee, Krishna inspires him in so many ways, and thus he inspires all of us. The perfect conclusion to this mela is the Rath Yatra in the big city nearby on Saturday. I thought, that's brilliant, Maharaj. You are brilliant. You really do have such a nice understanding of the holy name, and therefore I've come to get your association as much as I can. So why it is so important to go out? Because the holy name is very merciful. Srinam Prabhu, he's a person. And his desire, he has descended, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar, as an incarnation of the Lord in the form of sound to deliver conditioned souls. So if we take him on the tip of our tongues to the towns and we chant, well, then he's very merciful to us. If you want mercy, this is the best way to get mercy, to follow the instructions of the Lord and his pure devotees. And when this mela is over, go back to your Prabhu Datta Desh. Prabhu Datta Desh means that place where you're preaching, where your spiritual masters and the Lord have given you that little part of the country or part of the world where you're responsible for advancing the movement, and chant japa very seriously and come together with the devotees, and then in some form or another, through festivals, through book distribution, through Harinam parties, through whatever way, share your good fortune with others. And this makes the process complete. And then by the Lord's mercy, we may also come to some stage of Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of these great devotees, all who have the desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Gopi Mananne Hare Krishna.